You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everyone, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show where 60% of the time our intros work 100% of the time. I'm Sam.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody.
Hey everybody, thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you this week. We have a bunch of news and also a spoiler-filled review of Avengers Infinity War, which I think we're actually going to get to on the second half of the show, so you guys have at least half a show to listen to if you don't want to get spoiled for that great, very good movie. So consider this your warning, everybody. That's what I like to do at the top of the show, threaten all of our listeners.
Yeah.
Super good.
And say you might not want to listen to all
super,
of the show.
Super good. I'm telling our listeners to not listen to the show and also threaten them. This is going great. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news. Let's
do,
go ahead and
do
news.
We're not going to do check it out.
We could do a
all?
Quick check it out, but yeah, like, let's do it. You know what? Let's do it.
It just feels weird to not check anything out.
Okay. Yeah. Did you guys check anything out?
Yeah, sure we did.
Okay, cool.
What do you want to talk about? Aggretsuko.
Yeah.
Then talk about Aggretsuko.
It's that new, is it Sanrio?
Yeah.
A cartoon. It's on Netflix. It is really good.
This is the red panda that loves metal, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
She's a mild-mannered office lady,
mm-hmm.
but she secretly loves death metal and gets out her rage that way.
That's excellent. I've seen so much about that, this cartoon. It looks super cute and also great.
It's our new workout show.
Oh, yeah. Really? Cool.
Because occasionally you get some death metal, and that's great to work out
to. It's really good, too.
It's very cute and good.
Good.
Really cuts to the core of what I imagine office life is like in Japan, I guess. She has real life problems and is also an adorable cartoon red panda.
Yeah. Now, is she actually a red panda or is she just a person that looks kind of like a red panda, much like how Sanrio has described Hello Kitty as a little girl who looks like a cat?
Who happens to look like a cat.
And is not actually a cat.
She's not actually a cat because she's not actually anything.
Well, that too. Yeah.
Hello Kitty is whatever you want Hello Kitty to be.
Yeah, I guess.
She has no personality, whereas Retsuko definitely has personality.
Okay, cool.
She's super relatable, I think, because she's very mild mannered and wants to do her best at her job that she hates. And there's always an overarching theme in each episode of whatever idea she has to get out of her job.
Mm-hmm.
Like at first, she thinks she's gonna get a job with one of her friends, and that's the overarching thing that, oh, she's going to quit soon because she's going to do this other job. And then later the last one we watched, she decided she's going to find a dude and get married so she can quit her job. The supporting characters are really cool too. And they're all really cute and well-designed.
Yeah.
Like you would expect a Sanrio.
Yeah. I've watched a couple of the trailer commercial things for it. And yeah, it looks just really, really well done, well designed and everything. So that's excellent. That's very cool.
It definitely lives up to the promise of the show.
Cool.
It's good.
Good.
And it's on Netflix, so you're not out anything.
Yeah, good point.
It's only like 15-minute episodes too.
Oh, really? They're short ones. Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Very, very good.
Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze came out.
Yeah, how's that funky mode?
It sucks.
Yeah.
Actually, I've written a whole review. I need to make an edit pass again, and then it'll be ready to go up.
Okay, cool.
So look forward to that on the old website.
Okay, can we get a taste of the review? Can we get a sliver?
It's one of the best platform games ever made ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a shame that it cost more than it did when it originally came out. And it doesn't add anything new at all, except funky mode, which is, like, great if you're, like, a baby.
Yeah. I've heard, like, funky mode should have been, like, hard mode, and, like, they should have picked another character for, like, easy mode.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, that's what... Yeah. Well, then that's where I heard it.
Yeah, funky mode should be, like, Kitty Kong from Donkey Kong Country 3, that stupid baby
that
monkey.
That weird baby.
That nobody likes.
Yeah.
He should be easy mode, then medium should be Donkey Kong, and then funky should be hard, because he just seems like more like a hard mode character.
Hard.
Yeah, the game is already
hard. Two player is like almost impossible.
Yeah, we were playing two player and it just adds a fun layer of extra challenge, and you burn through lives so much faster because you share a pool of lives. And every time you both die, you both lose a life. So you just burn through all of
them. Wow, yeah. That's wild.
And the camera doesn't do a very good job of, like, keeping both people in frame. Like, I don't know how it decides who to follow and who not to follow.
Who's further right?
Yeah. But, those scenes with the zip lines, like, you'll get on a zip line and it'll shoot you forward. And if the other player didn't grab onto the zip line at, like, the exact same time you did, well, they're gone. I mean, if they get too far behind, they'll balloon them back to where the first player is, so it's not like an instant death.
Okay, that's good.
But still, it doesn't work. It obviously wasn't designed really to be played multiplayer. It's just there as an option. Like,
gotcha.
It's fun though. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and you get a different experience because you can play as the side characters by themselves. You can't do that in single player.
Okay.
Single player, you're stuck with DK or Funky, and then the sidekicks ride on in their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
But Funky Kong is so overpowered. Like, he can double jump, he can hover, he can hold his breath underwater forever. Really? Actually, he's got a little snorkel, so they explain he doesn't have gills or something.
Okay. He's not some weird mer ape.
Mer ape. He can just stand on spikes.
Oh, okay. sure.
He throws his surfboard down, stands on that over top of the spikes, but like...
At least they explain it. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just, wait, it's not fun. It takes
if
all the challenge
kid,
out of it.
It'd probably be good.
Yeah. It doesn't suit the character. Funky's supposed to be a cool guy, not a baby.
Yeah.
Not an easy mode baby.
Well, it's easy because he's so cool.
I guess.
That makes sense.
He's so cool with those jorts that those cut-off jorts that he wears.
Sunglasses.
Yeah.
It would be really hard if you're a baby. I think you got backwards.
I think there is an unlockable hard mode, but I don't know what it does. You probably only get one heart. Only can get hit once.
That would be tough. I played, it wasn't that one, but it was the other one that was on the 3DS.
Returns.
And I haven't gotten that mad at a video game since Shovel Knight, which is a great, wonderful game, but infuriates me to no end.
I mean, if you haven't played this Donkey Kong or like didn't own it on the Wii U, like definitely get it. Like, it's really, really good. And the art is amazing. And the level design is just perfect.
Yeah.
It's amazingly well done. But if you had it on the Switch or the Wii U, you probably don't need to get it on the Switch unless you're like you're really into the game. Like, I
super hardcore. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't regret buying it because I love any excuse to play through that game again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It depends. Your mileage may vary depending on how much. Just know in advance you're not getting anything new.
Gotcha. But well, that's fair.
Anything new that's worthwhile anyway.
I'm trying to think. Did I check anything out? I watched Cannibal the Musical again.
Oh,
rewatched
always
that.
Always a good idea.
Always a good idea. Still holds up. For folks who don't know, that was a film that was done by Trey Parker and Matt Stone of South Park fame back when they were in college before South Park actually hit. They were actually working on the Christmas episode, that first episode, like as they were wrapping up filming Cannibal the Musical. And it is a musical in the style of Oklahoma, but about Alfred Packer, a real life cannibal from the old Western times. The songs are ludicrous. And
yet still good.
Yet still good. It's, you know, I mean, it's rough around the edges because it is a student film, but
it might be my favorite thing they've done.
It's up there. Rewatching it, I have a newfound appreciation for Let's Build a Snowman. I think that didn't used to be my favorite song, but this last watching, that one gets stuck in my head more than anything else.
I don't know what my favorite song from that is. They're all so good.
Yeah, the last one's pretty good. That one...
Hanging.
That's a good one.
Cowbell
solo.
Cowbell jokes before Saturday Night Live did them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, trendsetters, head of the game. But yeah, I think that's pretty much been it for the most part.
I wish
really
they did more movies.
Yeah, me too.
I wish they weren't shackled to South Park.
Yeah, especially since, like, I guess their last couple seasons have been, I mean, it's still good, I guess.
Yeah, but
I never really watched a ton of South Park. I would watch the rare episode here and there. Like, if there was something huge, I would tune in, but
I was a huge South Park fan. Like, I loved it, but, like, lately, the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, it just seems like maybe it's done.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to be hip, edgy young guys when you're pushing 50. And you have multiple children. And
well, with this, not to be that guy with the hot take, but in this, I guess, political climate, with their just attitude of not caring, being cool, it's just not.
It doesn't quite
resonate,
sure.
It's very Gen X.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But Cannibal the Musical is still still very watchable. So, I'd say if you can find it, check it out. I think they still put out Blu-rays through Troma. So, why not? Okay, so anyway, with that, let's go ahead and do some quick news. So, yeah, what do you guys want to start with?
Well, we talked about Bill and Ted earlier on previous shows about how they're trying to get it off the ground to be made into a movie.
Yes.
Bill and Ted 3.
And it officially is.
I really stumbled my way through that.
That's okay. I'm picking up the ball on that one. I'm picking up the ball and running with it. Yeah, Bill and Ted 3. Bill and Ted Face the Music is what it's officially being called.
Nice.
And yeah, the whole idea is they're now middle-aged. Their marriages are kind of on the rocks, and they have yet to be able to write that one song that, like, unifies the world and causes world peace. So now they're going through time and space and dimensions to try to figure out what's going on to save not just the Earth, but the universe. I'm in. I'm totally in.
It sounds so good in every way, shape, and form.
Yeah, it sounds so, so great. And it not only is it going to be like a heavily inspired by the first Bill and Ted, I guess the guy they had cast as Death is coming back to reprise his role as Death.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Because Bill and Ted 2, Bogus Journey, is, like, so weird. It's so weird, you guys. Have you seen Bogus Journey?
I have not. I've only seen the first one.
It's been a long time.
I've seen the first one several times, but I've never seen the second one.
Oh, there is an extended sequence where they play a myriad of board games with Death. Like,
the Seventh Seal?
Seventh Seal, yeah. So there are seventh seal jokes. They go to hell. They go to heaven. They meet Albert Einstein and, like, alien people named Station, which the only thing they can say is the word station, because apparently station is a very funny word if you repeat it over and over and over ad nauseum.
It's like the bodybuilder on a Gretzko. There's a bodybuilder that all he says is protein.
Protein. Oh, that's good. That's
kangaroo.
Good.
Yeah, he's a kangaroo, I think.
Oh, nice. Well, that makes sense, because have you seen kangaroos? They're freakishly jacked.
I forgot to check it out real quick.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I finished Far Cry 5.
Oh, yeah?
And the ending is pretty bad.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. There's no good ending. But I'm going to go ahead and spoil it, because the game's still fun regardless of the crap ending.
Yeah, do it.
But at the end, you catch up to the cult leader, and you have your choice to turn around and leave and just let him turn the other cheek or not.
Mm.
And if you don't turn the other cheek, it turns out he was right.
Oh.
Either he was right, or he set off a bunch of nukes. One of the two. It's kind of nebulous, which it is.
That's...
So the whole thing blows up, and you drive away to a bunker with him tied up, and then you... a tree hits your car or something, and he drags you into the bunker. So the end of the game is just you and him sitting in a bomb shelter.
That's a terrible ending.
Yeah.
That's really terrible. Yeah.
Which if you're playing as a male character, he's like, we're going to start over and we're going to be father and child. But if you're playing as a female character, it has an Adam and Eve thing, which makes it much creepier.
That's no good.
Much creepier. Probably a better ending because it's creepy.
Yeah.
But then if you leave, you're driving away with all your cop buddies, and the main sheriff's like, we're going to go get the National Guard. And then a song starts playing on the radio. It's Only You, which turns out was a song that they had programmed you to kill people when you hear it.
Oh.
So your that song starts playing, your screen starts going red, and then it goes to credits. So either way, like...
So you lose either way.
Yeah. The only way to win is to not play the game.
That's incredibly frustrating, and like...
Which, at the beginning of the game, you can leave, and the credits roll.
Oh, really?
And so that's the good ending, is to just not be involved.
Not play. Wow. Do you think that was the message that the developers were putting out, like, to not just not play games?
I don't know.
Wasted your money? Yeah,
if it was, they didn't do a very good job presenting it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound...
It's not a very well-written game.
Yeah.
It's pretty ham-fisted.
It doesn't sound great. Doesn't sound great.
The gameplay's a blast, though.
Yeah. So anyway, Bill and Ted 3... No, I guess we're pretty much done talking about that. But we can go ahead and talk about the other thing that is, like, tangentially related, kind of.
It is a movie about two guys.
Two guys who play music. that are trying to save the world, kind of, maybe, in some shape or form.
Maybe. We don't maybe. Know the plot of this movie.
Well, I mean, they saved the world in the first one.
That's true.
Yeah. Jack Black and Kyle Gass are doing a Tenacious D sequel. Sequel to Pick a Destiny. And, okay.
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
First one was pretty good.
Yeah. The original TV series was great. Like, the 6-episode series.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, that was really good.
I always thought the movie was just like, it was pretty good.
It was okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, if you listen to the Tenacious D songs, you know what you're kind of in for.
Yeah.
And... they had Dave Grohl as the devil.
Yeah. What more could you ask
yeah,
for?
Dave Grohl is a pretty charismatic guy. I've heard he's like the nicest guy in rock and roll.
Yeah,
like
that's
he's
what
a
I've
super
heard.
Super chill, nice dude. Like when he's not on stage, he's just like everyone's like favorite like dad or uncle or whatever. He's just a nice guy. So that's cool. So yeah, Tenacious D, why not? You know.
Yeah. Could use more movies like that, I guess. When was the last, like, really, really good, like, everybody loves it comedy movie? Like, it's been a long time. Was it, like, Bridesmaids?
I was just thinking Bridesmaids.
Like, that was a long time ago, too.
Yeah, that's been a while.
There hasn't been, like, a really good blockbuster comedy movie in a long time.
Yeah, I'm hard-pressed to think about it because, like, I'm thinking, you know, a lot of the Will Ferrell stuff.
Yeah, like that really petered out. Yeah.
Eventually. But, like...
Bridesmaids. I guess The Hangover was a big deal.
The Hangover was a big deal.
I never saw it.
It was fine.
It got to the point where I'm like, I'm tired of hearing about this, so I'm never going to watch it.
Oh, yeah, that spite. Yeah. Not watching it out of spite.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. I think everyone goes through that with something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess The Hangover would be a good example of that.
Austin Powers. Not that I want to get us back on that subject, but that was
what do you mean? I never left that subject. It's Austin Powers all the time, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
The look of disgust on Samantha's face right now.
But that was a huge blockbuster comedy.
It was.
Like practically universal appeal for some reason.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Bridesmaids might have been.
Yeah.
I mean, the heat was good.
But nobody
went to see it. That's true.
Because all they make is superhero movies now is why.
Yeah. Speaking of which, remember, at the break, going to talk about superhero movies.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, so while we're talking about things coming back and returns, we might as well go ahead and get this one out of the way as well. A trailer dropped for season 5 of Arrested Development.
It was very good. It was a very good trailer for a very good show.
It looked like Arrested Development. Yeah. I don't know what all to say about it.
Don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Don't touch the cornballer.
And that's why you leave a note. And now we're just going to say lines from Arrested Development.
It's just like, it has so many inside jokes
it's
like
so
that.
It's so good,
though.
Yeah. Don't tell Michael.
Everybody should watch that show. It's so good.
Oh, absolutely. At least the first 3 seasons.
Yeah.
The season 4, although season 4 was recently re-released, the original way season 4 worked was instead of having the linear storytelling, like the first 3 seasons, it would be like it was the same like 6 month period that was told from the perspective of each character.
It's the Rashomon of Arrested Development.
And it didn't
or
work.
Or the Sonic Adventure of Arrested Development.
Even better, even better. But it didn't work. Like it didn't connect. So they went through and re-edited it to make it play like the other seasons. And I guess they added a few things and kind of, you know, there were a couple scenes where they had to CGI other characters in to kind of make it all fit. And from what I understand, it works a lot better this way. Still a little disjointed, still the weakest of the seasons, but like not to the level that it was at when it was originally released.
It sounds
like they learned from it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like they definitely Pet Sematary'd season 4.
Uh-huh.
Like it came back, but it wasn't quite right.
It wasn't quite right, but this one looks like it's right. Yeah, season 5 anyway. Yeah, it looks like it. All right, so I've been doing a lot of talking. So Cody, why don't you tell me about the Neo Geo Mini?
Okay. The newest hot trend of making old game consoles but smaller. SNK is coming out with a tiny Neo Geo cabinet, which is the arcade. Neo Geo is an arcade machine that you could switch out games on really easily, kind of like a home console, but arcade. So it made it cheaper for arcade manufacturers to have different games. And also there was a home version of the Neo Geo as a game console, but the game still cost $400.
Yeah.
But they're combining 40 Neo Geo games into one little cute arcade cabinet that you're going to be able to buy. It's the SNES Mini of Neo Geo. It looks cool. A lot of Neo Geo games are fantastic, so it'll be loaded with a lot of great games.
I'm curious to see how many fighting games are going to be on it. There's got to be like some Art of Fighting, some Garou, Mark of the Wolves, some
King of Fighters.
King of Fighters.
How many years of King of Fighters is this thing going to have?
How many Samurai Showdowns they're going to put on there?
You really only need 2.
Yeah, it's true.
Samurai Showdown 2, not 2 Samurai Showdown games.
Yeah, you just need Samurai Showdown 2. Yeah.
You really only need the one with Cham Cham.
Well, agreed. But no, it's I'm interested in it. It's probably going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah, if past Neo Geo consoles are any indication, it's going to be expensive. But if it's not, I definitely buy one. I mean, I think that's pretty cool. Got a little built-in screen and everything, and it also does HDMI out to your
TV. I was going to ask you about that, because I saw that it was, you know, portable, but yeah, okay, if it does the HDMI out, that's excellent.
It kind of stinks that there's only one joystick on the little cabinet.
It kind of defeats the purpose of having, like, fighting games and stuff, if you're going to only be able to play one.
But you're going to be able to plug controllers into also.
Oh, really? Okay, that's cool. Well, cool, that's excellent.
It's cool to get all these mini retro consoles, especially because Nintendo's not doing virtual console on the Switch, apparently.
Yeah, let's roll right into that. Yeah. That's bad news.
Yeah, Nintendo Nintendo released their online plans, kind of like a preview of what they're doing come September for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
You get cloud saves.
Good. It needed that from the start.
Yeah, and that cloud saves and something called NES Online Nintendo Switch or some really dumb name like that, where you get a selection of 20 NES games that you can that have online play. I mean, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
But like NES games don't have the staying power of anything later than it.
Yeah.
People aren't going to be chomping at the bit to pay, what is it, like $3 a month?
It's like three or $4 a month, or $20 for the year, or $35 for a family plan that supports up to 8 separate consoles and accounts.
I thought it was 7.
It's 8.
It's 8. Okay.
I read it wrong. It's you and 7 of your
closest
family, and I'm doing that with large air quotes.
But nobody's going to be chomping at the bit to pay $3 to play Balloon Fight with their buddies.
Yeah, but they will pay $3 a month to have cloud saves. So if their, you know, file corrupts or their system bricks, they don't lose 200 hours of Breath of the Wild.
Also, so they can play Splatoon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because that's what, yeah.
To play most online games on the Switch.
Yeah. That's the other thing, yeah.
Which, I mean, it kind of stinks, but it's the same thing everybody else does, and it's also a lot cheaper, so...
Right, but I don't know. They should have had it at launch.
Yeah, well, they should have had a lot of things at launch that they didn't. We still don't have Netflix.
Yeah. Well, because it's a game console and not a entertainment.
I mean, it's definitely not a deal breaker.
But yeah.
But it's just weird that you think it'd be a give me with how popular the Switch is. Like, I wonder how much of it is Nintendo and how much of it is Netflix. Like, I don't know.
I can't see Netflix not being interested in having their service on as many consoles as possible. They put Netflix on the 3DS for crying out loud.
How did Hulu get on there and not Netflix? That's bizarre.
Who knows? That is incredibly bizarre.
How did they run the Nintendo gauntlet and not Netflix?
It
makes no sense.
Yeah, not a clue.
I mean, I wouldn't use Netflix on my Switch anyway.
I wouldn't, but the option should at least be there.
Yeah.
I want the option.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use it, but I should be able to if I want it.
If I so chose to, yeah.
But I absolutely would not use it.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm still going to pay for this Nintendo Online thing just for the cloud saves. I probably won't use the NES stuff unless they put some really sweet stuff on there.
Oh, I'll definitely use the NES stuff. I mean,
you have a problem.
I just trashed on it, but like, I'll play those games.
Well, that's Nintendo though. It's like, you know what? They don't do it right. They're, you know, everything's, but you're going to do it anyway because it's Nintendo.
And who knows if they don't add things other than NES over time.
Eventually they
Lord
will.
Hopes
hope
they
so.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish it was Super Nintendo. That's what I've learned from having both the NES Mini and the SNES Mini. Is that the Super Nintendo is actually leaps and bounds better
than
the NES.
Oh, yeah.
The NES used to be my favorite game console, but after I sat down with both of those, like, almost back-to-back, I'm like, oh, my God, these games are so much better.
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Avengers Infinity War and all its spoilery goodness, so stick around. Hey, we're back. That was The Rubber Band Man by The Spinners.
I guess that's the song that the Guardians were listening to when they showed up in the movie, according to some questionable-looking website I found.
Excellent. All right.
And it sounds right.
And the movie you're talking about is Love Finds You in Sugar Creek, right?
Yes.
The Amish romantic comedy movie that we talked about off mic for longer than we probably should have. No, I'm joking. That was from Avengers.
Yeah, when the Guardians of the Galaxy showed up in Sugar Creek, Ohio.
Yeah.
To help...
chop wood slowly.
Yeah. And help a cop fall in love with an Amish man.
Yeah, or something.
Something.
Something like that. I don't know. No, we're talking about...
I'd watch that movie if the Guardians of the Galaxy were in it.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? Yeah, Peter Quill and a bunch of Amish people... Have Drax try to interact with the Amish?
I feel like
they would
get along, actually.
They probably would, actually. Yeah, you're right.
They're both he's kind of a plain dude.
Yeah, except for all the, you know, weird muscles and tattoos and stuff.
Weird muscles.
Yeah, that dude's weird looking.
He is.
David Bautista is a very weird looking man. Anyway, we're talking about Avengers Infinity War, the newest Marvel
Now we'll
studios.
Never get David Bautista on the show.
Oh, well, darn.
He said he was weird looking.
Well, he is. Anyway, let's talk about this movie a little bit. What do we want to do? Do some non-spoilery talk for a few minutes and then, like, get into the nitty-gritty? So
we could probably go right into the nitty-gritty. We've already pre-warned everyone.
That's true. We have done that. So
we've already scared everyone away.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about this stuff, guys. So let's talk about it.
It was a really good movie.
It was.
Really, really good movie. Not flawless, but...
Not flawless.
I think it was the best movie they could have made.
They did.
Really?
They did an excellent job splitting up the cast and telling multiple smaller stories, because I don't think there is a way that they could have made everyone from a decade's worth of films work in one place at one time on the screen. I think splitting it up was the best way they could have done it.
And they nailed it. Like,
they did.
That many, it's really impressive, that many characters, and it was that good of a movie.
Yeah.
They balanced it pretty well that way, mm-hmm. I think.
I read the other day that Ant-Man was supposed to be in the original Avengers movie, but Joss Whedon cut him because there was, quote, too many characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then the Russo brothers come in and be like, too many characters, huh?
Here's like 20 of them.
Yeah. Just but we did go. Still cut Ant-Man.
Yeah, aww. He did still get cut.
Or I'm... did he? He could just be real small.
That's true.
Very good point.
Could have been there the whole time.
Yep, very good point. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. So do we want to take it like chunk by chunk, like the main story, like what each character's like
sure.
the main thrusts or whatever? So a lot of it takes place in space with Iron Man, Doctor Strange, and Spider-Man. And I actually think that was the most... And turns out the Guardians end up in that section as well. That was a pretty enjoyable section of the film. It seemed to be the most, like, up until the very, very end, the most that, directly related to the Thanos
story. Yeah, that was the center.
Story.
That was the heart of the movie for the longest time.
Yeah. And I liked the character interactions between Iron Man and Doctor Strange.
Yeah, they were really good.
It's, you know, you have a film where it would be very easy for the writers to go, okay, everyone's superheroes, they're all going to be buddies and pals and get along and stuff. And, like, those two characters didn't like each other.
Because they're the same.
They're the same. Yeah, exactly. They're the same personality.
I'm not saying in a bad way. It's funny that they don't get along because they're so similar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're just exchange magic for science and it's the same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Tom Holland did an excellent job playing off between the two of them, I think.
Spider-Man, he's always such a friggin' delight.
He is.
I love him.
Yeah, just anything that comes out of his mouth was, like, funny or fun.
Well,
or
almost
great.
Everything that came out of his mouth was fun and funny and great.
We'll
get to that. I think the addition of the partial Guardians team at that point was very good as well. I kind of like how Peter Quill was written to be just the dumbest.
Boy, he really ruined everything.
He really did. But, you know, they set that up. I saw a lot of early reports of, like, they almost stopped. Well, we're talking about spoilers. They almost stopped Thanos, like, 3/4 of the way into the movie. Like, they're this close to doing it. And Peter, like, flies off the handle and starts wailing on Thanos, which kind of ruins the whole thing. And I saw a lot of reports early saying, you know, that's really out of character. They really screwed over the character of Star-Lord. But think about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. They set up, subtly, Quill's short fuse. Think about when Ego, Russell Crowe says, like, hey, I feel bad that I had to kill your mom. He does not take a second.
You mean Kurt Russell?
I mean Kurt Russell. Sorry. Yeah, no.
Russell Crowe would be different.
That would be a very different film. No, Kurt Russell says, hey, you know, I had to kill your mom. And without hesitation, without a second of thought, he just starts blasting him. It showed that Star-Lord has a really impulsive, really bad temper that pops up every once in a while.
Especially when it comes to the ladies in his life.
Yes, that's a very sore point for him. Yeah, so they set that up, and it was good.
Yeah, it made sense, but also did kind of suck, especially if you like Star-Lord, and it's like, oh, man, now he's being a real butthole.
Yeah.
He's really wanging it up for everybody. You disappointed me, Peter.
But no, that whole fight sequence on Titan was excellent.
I love them trying to pull the Infinity Gauntlet off of Thanos.
Yeah, that was really, really, really good. Speaking of Thanos, I think Josh Brolin did an excellent job.
Yeah, the movie was more about him than it was.
Oh, yeah. It's like he was the protagonist. Like, the villain in this movie was framed like the protagonist.
Yeah.
And
which is a very interesting way to do it.
And it worked. It really worked. But he portrayed the character very well. They gave him a tweaked enough backstory to make him almost sympathetic, but also, like, no, he's just crazy. Because there's been a lot of talk online about, you know, if he wanted to save the universe instead of, well, what he wants to do is wipe out half, like 50% of the universe's population using the Infinity Gauntlet to help manage resources, basically. Yeah. So that the other half can survive and not deplete the universe's resources. The plot hole was, like, people have been saying, why didn't he just create more resources for everyone?
That's dumb. From his point of view, that's just going to make more people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could say that either way, but from Thanos' specific point of view, mm-hmm. that's just going to be more people.
Yeah, and you know, that's the whole point of him being calling himself the Mad Titan. Like, no, he saw the destruction on his planet. He came up with the 50% kind of idea, and no one listened to him, and his planet, like his race, died. And he went, well, this is still a good option, and I'm going to do it on a grand scale. And at that point, you go, yeah, he's a crazy man.
Yeah.
And so all these articles about, you know, Thanos actually had the right idea. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
I don't think this is a plot hole.
I don't think it is either.
Say it's not.
The point was, he was so narrow-minded. He was so focused on his one idea. Like, he was laser-focused on his goal where he wouldn't even consider any other alternatives, of which there were probably a million different ones.
An infinite amount.
He had the power to do anything, yeah. anything, and he chooses to go in his one very specific, very narrow, you know, because he was blinded, essentially. And I've always said that the best villains are the ones that think they are the heroes of their own story. That's why Magneto in the X-Men movies is so compelling, because he, from his point of view, he's right. And Thanos, even by the last frame of the movie, where he is like on like...
he's like at some sort of sandals destination.
Yeah, basically, yeah, yeah. Well, I think what it was is he's at Gamora's planet, I think is what the thing is. And he smiles and breathes a sigh of relief because he's done his job. And because, according to him, he was the hero of his story and he completed his goal and he can now relax.
Yes, this is a superhero movie where 50% of the universe's population dies.
Yeah, spoiler. Yeah, no, the heroes don't win this one.
No.
This is, I've heard it compared to Empire Strikes Back. I think that's kind of a simplistic way of describing it, because it's apples and oranges. I mean, the yeah. heroes lose.
Just because the heroes lose doesn't mean it's Empire.
Exactly. But like, yeah, the heroes don't win. But okay, so we've talked about the space stuff with Iron Man and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. There is another section of space stuff, which I actually really enjoyed quite a bit, which is almost like a, yeah.
My favorite part of the movie was probably, yeah, Thor and the Guardians.
Yeah, yeah, with Groot and Rocket. I never thought that those characters would interact well together, but they really, really did. Thor worked well with the Guardians in general.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen with the characters, really don't. But the next Guardians movie should just have Thor in it.
Yeah, because it worked so well. Yeah.
They should just combine those franchises, because Thor's pretty much a space guy at this point anyway.
Yeah, for the most part. Oh, surprise, Peter Dinklage is in this movie.
And he's a very big guy.
He's a very large Peter Dinklage.
He's a large dwarf.
I did not know he was in this film. There were two huge surprises in this film. And Peter Dinklage being a dwarf that helps Thor forge a new hammer was one of them.
And that whole sequence was very cool. Oh, yeah,
like super good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be my him and Rocket and Groot up there on that space station trying to get it started and forge Stormbreaker might have been my favorite bit in the movie.
It was, yeah, that was a really, really good sequence. But just the interplay between, even when they had a Star-Lord, again, talking with Thor, and he's like sucking in his gut and is all of a sudden putting on kind of a deeper kind of voice.
Are you making your voice deeper? No.
But no, that was really good. The other portion of the film, which I think was still very good, but may have been the weakest for me, it's actually the Captain America stuff.
His beard, though, is very good.
His beard is on point. I wish I had a beard like
that. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I wish my beard looked like his beard.
Yeah, right?
I have beard envy.
I mean, I think because this is such a galactic grand scale kind of film, having the Cap stuff being as grounded as it, in reality as it was, kind of left it a seemingly a little lackluster. Now, the last battle fight, the battle scene.
Battle in, fight. The last the best battle fight.
Yeah. And in Wakanda was excellent.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. And I was strangely compelled by the Vision and Scarlet Witch stuff. I liked that a lot.
It actually made me start caring about at least the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. it made the romantic relationship between the two of them incredibly believable, way more so than the Black Widow and the other Hulk stuff.
I love how they just kind of swept Black Widow and the Hulk under the rug.
Yeah.
He was just like, hi, Nat. Yeah. He's like, hey.
Hey.
And then that's it.
And that's, yeah. Yeah. Did you guys notice that the trailers for this movie lied super hard?
No.
Yeah, so in all the trailers they would have like cuts of like the battle sequence from, you know, the heroes on one side with the Wakandan warriors and like those weird space dog monsters from Thanos' planet on the other side. And in those shots in the trailer, Hulk's there. Guess who's not there in the movie? Huh. It's not the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the CG on Bruce Banner in that Hulkbuster was horrible.
Not great.
It was awful.
Yeah, in a movie.
It's like Mike Ruffalo just sitting there like a prairie dog looking around.
Yeah. Like... yeah, I mean, he does have that prairie dog look to him. but I did enjoy seeing him like trying to argue with the Hulk to get the Hulk to
come out.
And Hulk is like terrified.
Yeah.
He's like scared that because
no!
Yeah, because that's the thing, you know, a lot of people were talking before the movie came out like, well, what's going to happen when you have the big green guy punch the big purple guy? And they do it within the first 10 minutes of the film. And the answer is the purple guy wins and the Hulk gets scared and refuses to transform for the rest of the movie. And that's great. That's great. It shows that they have separate personalities now. They're not just angry Banner and calm Banner.
And
it's like two
Hulk,
different people.
The Hulk is like a 4-year-old at this point.
Yeah. So it totally makes sense that the Hulk is scared because up until this point, he's been the strongest thing he knows. And now he gets beat. So he's like, I don't know. No,
yeah, no,
I'm good. Yeah. Hulk's good in here. But the final battle scene was really, really good.
But there is a scene where it's a bunch of them standing around.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the Hulkbuster and Bruce in it in the back.
Yeah.
And it looked so bad, it ruined the whole scene for me.
Really?
Like, when you watch it again, look out for it, because it looks like there's, like, maybe some sort of cardboard cutout, like, moving around. It's so bad.
Well, you know what? It's weird that the last couple of Marvel movies have had, like, one scene like that. I'm thinking back to Black Panther, where they were, like, on the waterfall during like the first fight, like, you know, for the fight for like the crown or whatever, and they pan up the waterfall and they have all like the upper echelon of like villagers up there dancing around and stuff, and it just looks like a bunch of poser characters with like no modeling or like no gradients or anything on them, just kind of weird models shaking around.
You just expect them to snap into a T-pose.
A T-pose at the end, yeah.
And clip through the ground.
Right? Yeah, it's so weird that they would like they spend so much money, and like most of the CG in the movie looks great.
Yeah, it was all great except for that particular
for that
moment.
That one shot. Yeah, it's weird. What did you guys think of Thanos's like his posse?
I wish they would tell you what their names were.
The only name that I could pull out of it was like Obsidian Maw or something like that. I'm probably getting that one mixed up.
They did not develop them very well, but they honestly didn't have time.
They didn't, and you know, they didn't need to.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are bad, and the Avengers got to fight them is all you really needed to know.
Yeah, the telekinetic one reminded me a cross of Squidward and Pearl from Steven Universe, but for Thanos. Like, like super devoted, but also kind of like snobby and also looked kind of like Squidward.
That line, that Tony Stark line calling him Squidward was hilarious.
That was, I guess that's where I'm getting the Squidward thing. But that was really good.
The elf lady was cool.
I think that's Proxima Midnight.
Yeah.
I think that's what her name is. Oh, man, that shot of Nebula. Like,
being like dissected,
totally dissected, where they start where it's like you're looking at her head on and it just looks like she's like like being telekinetically like held up, and then they pan to the side and like she's completely disassembled. That was a very cool shot.
I'm so surprised that Nebula made it out of this movie alive. I thought
she's
there was
one of the
no
few.
Way
well they gotta get Tony back to Earth somehow,
yeah,
and she can fly a spaceship. Okay, so we talked about the one surprise cameo with Peter Dinklage. Red Skull.
Red Skull's in this movie. I thought that was really cool.
It was really cool. Now, it wasn't Hugo Weaving. It was some other guy that they found because he couldn't care less about being here. But I remember the first Captain America movie coming out and saying, Red Skull didn't die at the end of that. He just got shot into space. He's going to pop up somewhere. And that was about, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
And I totally forgot that Red Skull has been in space for that long.
It was the best way they could possibly use him, I think. I think it was a really smart move.
Mm-hmm. It really, really was. I think they did an excellent job with that. Okay, so let's talk about some of the negative points of this film, maybe, which is going to go right into like the ending of the film, yeah. I think, because they go kind of hand in hand a little bit.
My number one nitpick is they kind of took the wind out of the sails of the whole movie by having Doctor Strange see the solution and telling you that he knows.
He knows and just trust everything because it's going to work out.
Yeah.
So it makes the whole like second movie about like, hey, Tony was spared in this one so that because he knows he comes up with a way to, or is integral in the plot to bring everyone back, essentially.
It kind of takes the threat down considerably.
It does. Okay, so we've avoided the ending as long as we can. So like we said, half of the universe's population gets completely wiped out, turns into a cloud of like triangle dust and flutters away kind of at the end of this film. And that includes half of the Avengers and half of the characters in this film.
And all the Guardians except for Rocket.
That sucked. I was really surprised that they decided Bucky would disappear and not Cap. I really thought Cap was going to be the one to fade and have Bucky have to take up the shield. I am a little concerned with how many middle-aged white dudes of the remaining cast are around, because think of how many female characters were faded or otherwise killed off in this film, including Gamora, who was killed off in a way that seems a little more permanent.
Yeah.
Although she could come back. She was... she was kind of a sacrifice to get the soul gem.
Yeah, Thanos had to kill her because she was the only thing that he loved.
He loved like a daughter.
Well, yeah,
and
to get the soul stone.
Yeah, and the prevailing theory is that she is actually inside the soul stone, and when they're gonna do something, and she'll come back. Well, they have a glove that has the power over time and matter and everything else in the universe. Anything could happen.
The reality stone is a little OP.
A little bit. That one shot where he disassembles
Drax
and Mantis in the collectors nowhere. That kind of creeped me.
Yeah, I thought they were dead. I'm like, oh, they're dead.
Yeah. but like when they unraveled Mantis and she still blinked as the ribbon, that was wild. But yeah, I'm a little concerned with
also, she is a delight in this film also. Great. She didn't have a whole lot of stuff, but when she did, it was very,
very
funny.
Memorable. She and Drax together are like a really good pairing. But yeah, I mean, I'm a little concerned about the number of female characters that were killed off. I'm very concerned about the number of minority characters that were killed off.
Black Panther didn't make it.
Black Panther didn't make it. Okoye did.
I'm assuming Shuri is okay.
Maybe. I mean,
didn't feel the need to show us, but...
Yeah, I have a feeling that there is a version of the Avengers 4 script where Shuri didn't make it, but because of the popularity of Black Panther, perhaps she did. I mean, like, both of Captain America's buddies are gone.
Did Black Widow's okay, right?
Black Widow's okay, yeah. Scarlet Witch is gone.
Just when she started getting cool.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame.
Yeah.
Like, so, I've always been like, she seems cool, but you're not giving me anything to work with here.
Right.
And they finally do in this movie, and then she's gone.
Yeah. I, the characters that they left around was an odd choice, I think. There are a couple of different choices I would have made in that particular case.
I can tell you right now what the after credits for Ant-Man is.
Oh, yeah, one of the two of them is going to disappear.
Yep.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. And by the track record, it's probably going to be the Wasp.
Yeah, I hope not.
Same.
Although I really don't want either one of them to disappear, especially since Ant-Man wasn't in this movie.
Yeah.
I really felt that. I really felt the absence of Paul Rudd.
Like, I did too.
I was excited to see him goofing around with everybody else like he does.
And this is going to sound really weird, and you guys are both going to immediately tell me that I'm wrong on this.
Are you
going to
say you miss Hawkeye?
He's been around for every Avengers film. Even if he wasn't part of the fight, even if he wasn't anywhere, they could have done something other than one throwaway line.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, you're not wrong, but I still don't like Hawkeye.
Oh, I don't like Hawkeye either. I don't like him. Well, Hawkeye's fine. I don't like the actor.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem. I don't like...
I don't even really like the character, honestly.
He's been written really well, especially Matt Fraction's run. He's been written like... He's basically like... not Magnum P.I., but the other one.
Columbo.
Kind of, actually. But he's been written... He can be written really well as kind of like the down on his luck kind of... yeah, I wish they would have done a little more than like, oh, he's with his family. Yeah. Like the events of Civil War, like kind of... Or Age of Ultron kind of freaked him out and he decided to just go back to the farm, which is why he'll end up in the next one because... Probably Linda Carnivale is
yeah, his
gonna
family
get
is gonna
faded.
Disappear.
Yeah. I'm interested in Avengers 4. Oh, I remember what I was gonna say. Okay, so Tom Holland, for the second film in a row where he was a major character, reminds us that Spider-Man is a child. Like, that is like his greatest superpower. Like, yeah. In both movies, he gets into a situation where he is like either dead or thinks he's dying, and for a split second, freaks out because he is a kid. He is a high school kid.
That scene with Spider-Man disappearing,
my God,
hurt so bad.
Oh, that was so
it
bad.
Hit me so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why the universe decided that Spider-Man needed to like take 5 minutes to fade out while everyone else just kind of poofed. But like,
it's because of the spider sense.
Oh, that's
He knew something was going to happen.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right.
He knew something bad was going to happen.
I hadn't thought about that. That's really smart. That's really good.
I saw a think piece where they said he knew he was going to die. I don't think he knew he was going to die.
But he knew something was up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. He doesn't have future sight. It's spider sense.
Yeah.
He knew something bad was about to happen.
That makes a lot of sense now that. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I can't wait to see Avengers 4. I can't wait to see how it wraps up. And I can't wait to see what Marvel's going to do beyond this. Because, like, not to get meta with it, but, like, a lot of the actors, a lot of the original Avengers actors, their contract's up at the end of 4.
Yeah.
And
they've written this ending in such a way that they have carte blanche to change and...
Redo whatever they want.
Yeah, whatever they want.
I mean, it would be super easy to write Captain America out by saying, hey, because of the time stone, when they rewrite reality, he didn't get frozen in ice. He lived to old age in the modern day. And
he got married to Peggy.
He got his happy ending.
And then they could have a kid, and then that's Captain America in this universe.
Exactly, yeah. They could say at the end of Avengers 4 that, hey, we could put things as close as we can get them, but it's not going to be 100% like you think it is.
Yeah.
I kind
of
like that.
It's going to be like Days of Future Past.
Yeah,
they rewrote the whole X-Men timeline.
That's really a good comparison. That was a good movie. I was too. Yeah, I was.
It's a shame the next one apparently wasn't as good. Apocalypse.
Yeah, Apocalypse wasn't great, but it is being tied into the next one, which is the Dark Phoenix.
That looks to be good. If they mess that up, people will be super ticked if they mess that up.
Well, they messed it up once. They can't do it again. Okay, so what about that after credit sequence?
Yay! They tease Captain Marvel real hard.
Super hard.
And Samuel L. Jackson almost says the MF word in a Disney film.
That's happy for it. I'm good with that. And I like that they tie up where Colby Smulders and Sam Jackson are, what happened to them, because they also have been pretty integral to a lot of the Avengers films.
I kind of wish they would have left one of them, but they're both gone.
Yeah, they're both gone. For the first time in years, I can say that I'm half interested in checking out Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, because they lost some characters there.
They had to have. a lot of these things were, or the TV series Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has not really been tied into the movies all that closely for a long time.
Because the movies don't give a crap about the TV show at all.
They don't care. But
the TV show tries to play nice with the movies, but the movies doesn't. They don't even give it a second thought.
That's why Coulson's not back in the movies.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Martin Freeman's character was fine in Black Panther, but it would have been Coulson if they had the option.
Yeah, I mean, if he had to be there. I did not care about that character for 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but if he had to be there and they had the option to have to get
Coulson would have been a lot better.
It would have been Phil Coulson. Yeah.
I would have cared if it was Coulson, but like I'm like, why are you here? Why is there this lame white guy?
Yeah. Do you think that Infinity War would have had more sequences in Wakanda if they would have started filming that after the success of Black Panther?
Probably.
Because those were being filmed concurrently
there
at
was
one point.
There was plenty of Wakanda, though.
There was plenty, but I think they would have given more character bits, probably with Shuri. They probably would have given more character bits with Okoye.
Well, and T'Challa.
And the Ape Mountain guy.
Oh, M'Baku.
M'Baku. They would have given more with M'Baku.
Yeah.
For sure.
There really wasn't a whole lot of actual Black Panther himself in the movie.
Very
really.
Little. Very little.
It kind of sucks now that I think about it.
Yeah.
He just had his own movie.
Yeah, that's true. We just got out of that movie. Like,
yeah, good point.
Not to be that guy.
But... Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, super, super glad that it turned out really well. I mean, Marvel...
As well as it possibly could have.
Yeah,
like,
they did the best they could with
Sure,
with
I have complaints, but not very many.
It doesn't wreck the film.
Yeah, oh no.
Not even close to it.
And it's like... It's such a good payoff for 18 different movies that you watched in beforehand.
Yeah.
Like it seriously did. They fulfilled the promise of the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
In one movie.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing the dang thing. It's great.
And, it all happened and it worked.
Yeah. And unlike the Ultron movie, I want to see what happens next.
Yeah.
I am on the edge of my seat. At the end of Ultron, I was like, okay. And that was an Avengers movie. Let's do the next. There's going to be more. But this
honestly,
one, I am like, I want Avengers 4 now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm super stoked. I want to know what happens.
Yeah.
Ultron might be my least favorite Marvel movie, honestly.
Yeah. It's between that one and Iron Man 2 for me, honestly.
It's made me almost completely write Joss Whedon off at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of
all the other
questionable
stuff that makes
allegations.
You want to write him off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you really wanged that one, Joss.
Yeah. So what do we have to look forward to? We have...
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. And we have...
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, yeah. Well, Ant-Man and the Wasp, it's going to be fun, but... That one's not really going to have anything to do with the Avengers stuff.
Yeah, like I said, it'll be an after credits for sure.
Mm-hmm. But Captain Marvel, I'm super, super stoked for.
Yeah, they are really setting her up very nicely.
Yeah.
With that, I can't remember his name. Nick Fury dropping that pager.
The pager. Yeah.
The very 90s pager
that
shows the Captain Marvel logo at the very end of the movie.
Yeah. And the other thing I've seen online was like, where's Captain Marvel been in all of this? Why wasn't she around during Avengers 1 if Nick Fury had like a magic pager to call like basically Superman to come in? Superman with laser beams.
Yeah. It's like, you're about to find out.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a reason.
Well, in one of the Guardians movies, there was an offhand comment about a peace treaty between the Krees and the Skrulls. And given that Captain Marvel, her power set comes from the Kree... And she's very heavily tied to the Kree alien race. I bet you we're going to see that in this film. Why? I bet she's going to be like right in the middle of some kind of crazy space war.
Also, this is a deep pull, but do you think Adam Warlock is going to be in the next Avengers movie?
No.
Because they kind of teased him at the end. It was like
Guardians. They could. They would have to explain a lot. But then again, they did. They did explain a lot with Thanos. He was turned from some pruny-chinned purple guy to like a character that everyone recognizes now.
Yeah,
which is weird because
who's in Fortnite for God's sake.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Listen, if you would have told 12-year-old Sam that Thanos would be a household name in my lifetime, I would have laughed in your face. Because he's such a one, he's such a weird poll, and two, it's such a weird concept.
Purple serrated chin man.
Yeah. So they could put Adam Warlock in there, but who knows? They could do something completely different. They completely removed the whole Thanos being fascinated with the physical manifestation of death out of his backstory. Which,
that's true. Which, that's too...
It's too weird, even for mainstream audiences.
Yeah, well, that, it just makes death like this not finite thing, but like this physical thing. That's weird for a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's explaining too... That's like weird mythology, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes it a little too far. I mean, I like it in the comics.
Yeah,
it
works in comics. It's okay.
But for a mainstream audience, I think, yeah, that would have been a little too far.
It's like, hey, death is a real physical thing.
Yeah. Death is a hot lady, sometimes with a skull face. And this purple butt-chinned alien has a thing for her.
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2. Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, we've talked this movie up way, way more than we probably should have.
Will Deadpool be in the next one?
You know, I would love it if they somehow got the rights to some X-Men characters or something as kind of a big holy crap moment. Because this movie had a couple of them.
I want a big fight scene and the Defenders are there.
Yeah. That would be
like
cool.
Like, they don't have to do a whole lot. Just look at the punch a guy and then, like,
and look
at the camera.
At the camera and wink.
Yeah, hi, it's me, Jessica Jones. This is my pal Luke Cage.
Have Luke Cage punch a guy and say, this is for Iron Fist, who got faded and will never come back ever again. Never, ever, never, ever, never.
Here's the alternate reality that they have to create at the end will affect the Netflix canon.
Yes, that's right.
And they will be able to recast Iron Fist as somebody who doesn't suck. And maybe an Asian dude.
Yeah,
how
maybe. Yeah. But yeah, like, even if they got, I mean, I know Hugh Jackman's never said he's done being Wolverine. I know it.
He
and it's not going to happen.
He said he would do an Avengers, though.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but you know what? For one scene, have him pop his claws.
Hey, bub.
Hey,
it's
bub.
Me, Wolverine.
I'm not dead, bub.
Snake. Yeah. Berserker rage.
But I bet you, if anything, this is how they, when they rewrite the universe, this is how they introduce mutants into the Marvel Universe. And
it's good.
Yeah.
Get those X-Men in there, please.
Do it. That's great. Although I would be kind of sad to see the current run of X-Men movies go, because I'm really looking forward to the New Mutants film, because it is just going to be a straight up horror film where the teens that are being menaced just happen to have superpowers.
That does look like a good movie.
It does. It really does.
But once all these movies that are in production are gone, that's it.
Yeah.
Disney's going to take over at that point.
And that's fine.
Yeah, as long as we get X-Men in our Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm good with it. All right, well, anyway, we have talked this up way, way, way longer than we should have, so let's go ahead and wrap things up here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Hey, guys, I'm Josh, and you can find our stuff on social media under Nerd Overload Now. It's on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter.
Twitter and
Nerd
Twitch.
Overload Now, Twitch.
Yeah.
It's all there.
It's all there.
I'm Josh.
I'm Josh. You like LARPing.
Yeah.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
I really got you off guard there with that one. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, please.
Yes, please. Please and thank you.
Send us some questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll answer them on the air. We did that last time.
We did.
It worked for somebody.
Like, yeah. I mean, we're not lying. We'll read them. Anyway, you can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Hey, Spotify.
Yeah.
We're official.
That's easy to use.
It's a good thing. Use Spotify, guys. So do a search for Nerd Overload over there. And
tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. Word of mouth is a great way to
help us out.
Help us out and tell people about a great, new, awesome show that you listen to sometimes. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.